Let's remain standing as we move towards the lighting of our Advent candle. God of Abraham and Isaac, God of Tamar and Ruth, God of Mary and Joseph, we light the first candle of Advent today, hoping to catch a glimpse or a shimmer of you. And we know that you are already here with us, just as you walked with every generation before us. And so we bring you our prayers this day in worship.
Your expansive love makes room for us to breathe. And we want to love with our lungs and our hearts full. So today, as we light this first Advent candle, God, teach us to offer expansive love for others. When we come face to face with stories different from our own, show us how to add chairs to the table. When we find ourselves face to face with stories that frustrate and test our patience, show us how to build bridges instead of walls. When we find ourselves face to face with stories that feel foreign or unrelatable, remind us to open our door and to listen fully. From Abraham to Mary, you make room for every story, and your love continues to make room for us. So teach us to do the same for our neighbors, so this world might know your love. May the people of God say amen.
Amen.
And we're going to keep moving in worship with a prayer that comes to us from Sanctified Arts. And I invite you to be seated and just to breathe in as we receive this prayer.
I asked God, what about my fingernail biting habit, or the way I leave all the cabinets open in the kitchen? What about the way I can be dramatic, drumming up a fight only to hand out apologies like souvenirs? What about the way I second-guess myself, let shame drive, or stay quiet when I have something to say? What about the way I chase accomplishments like a dog with a bone? What about the doubt, or the fact that I'm terrible at prayer and cannot help but yawn during church? What about? My baggage might be too big for the van. But then God called me by my first and middle name, which always means business, and said, who told you that you were too much? Sugar, there is so much room for you here. So that's when I grabbed a seat and we hit the road, and I knew right then that the rumors were true. There is room. There is room. There is room.
O day of peace that dimly shines through all our hopes and prayers and dreams, guide us to justice, truth and love, delivered from our selfish skins. May swords of hate fall from our hands, our hearts of envy find release, till by God's grace our warring world shall see Christ's promised reign. Shall the wolf dwell with the lamb, nor shall the fierce devour the small, as beast and cattle calmly graze. A little child
Such a beautiful morning this is, and the first day of, I would say, the color purple. today's coffee and and the volunteers that we usually have. I really want to say thank you to them and for the past volunteers and people who are always there for me and those who are going to sign up. So, this morning I saw Avery and I was really happy and excited about it. He's sitting right in front, so please give a hand to Avery. He was me before me.
There's only one you.
Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. We're grateful to be together this morning with you this for worship as we begin a new worship series called From Generation to Generation. For those of us gathering online at table.live, Chloe is with you as our host this morning. Please message her in the chat if you have questions or need assistance. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code for those in the sanctuary, and a link will be shared for those online. If you would like to learn more about how our community of faith, please text the word new to the number on the screen. If you would like to connect with others and learn more about the table, our co-pastors lead a series called Growing in Faith, which is designed to help newcomers learn more about how we share in life together here at the table. We have one series underway, and registration for our December 9th and 10th retreat is full. Our next Growing in Faith series will begin January 22. Learn more and sign up online at tableumc.org. Finally, we will gather in the fire room for our charge conference at 3:30 on Saturday, December 3rd. The charge conference is an annual meeting required for all United Methodist churches. We will look back in the celebration on our ministries in 2022 and also look ahead in the vision of 2023. All are welcome to attend. I invite you to stand as you're willing and able as we continue to move in worship with a song called Advert Hymn.
Christ the everlasting light, Son of
You may be seated. Try crying, not crying after that. I'm gonna do it. Especially because there's a typo in my thing here. So that helps me. Yeah. Our first reading on this first Sunday of Advent comes from the book of Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5. And I invite you to follow along. It'll be up on the screen. There are some Bibles sprinkled around, and lots of us have it on our phones. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. We're going to stand, right? And so here's the thing. You're going to recognize the tune, but they put some really cool words to this. So let's stand.
Technology, please hold.
Good morning. That was very nice. It's gentle. Wow. I want to invite our children to move with our teachers upstairs to our godly play sanctuary. Our musicians are going to help us out with some walking music. Sort of like that. Godly Play is our ministry with children on Sunday mornings. Storytellers share stories from Scripture and invite children to wonder about the mystery and love of God. While we have loving and professional care available for our youngest children in the A-frame throughout worship, Godly Play is designed for children in elementary school. I felt like I should have been doing a little today. Our reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, and we invite you to follow along. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Ahim, and Ahim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations.
We'll have a brief quiz now. Father of, oh no. I really do want to pray gratitude that Bob read that genealogy, and I did not. I do want to invite us into a spirit of prayer. God, may your grace, the love that we wait for as we move into this season of Advent, be felt and known in the depths of our hearts. May we trust that your story is written in and through our lives, and may we join with your story through loving the world. Amen. Some of you may have seen, I heard on NPR this week, that the Sacramento LGBT Center was hosting, they've actually been hosting Friendsgiving for 7 years now. And this year they made a shift. They described it as a branding shift. And I think it's something maybe even deeper than that. The shift was from Friendsgiving to chosen family feast. From Friendsgiving to chosen family feast, because it reflects what's really happening as folks were gathering on Thursday. This isn't merely friends getting together before they go to spend the holidays with family. Many folks that were gathering at the LGBT Center aren't welcome, as you all, so many of you know, in deep and profound ways in your own bodies. They're not welcome for who they are in their own homes or their own families. And so the center hosts the Chosen Family Feast. They shared on the radio that the meal is traditional with vegan options. Those who gather can taste and remember all of the mixed up feelings of holidays past. The beauty and the loss. The tender moments mixed with the traumatic moments. And they do so, most importantly, together as they break bread. This list of names that Bob shared with us from the first chapter in the Gospel of Matthew includes a number of people who would not have been welcomed for who they were in their own day. The opening chapter in Matthew's Gospel, as we just experienced, includes 42 names organized in three sets of 14, and we'll unpack what's going on in that genealogy in just a moment. But I want to name this morning, as Sarnit shared with us, we're beginning a new four-week worship series that marks the season of Advent. This is the church's entry into the new calendar year as we wait and move toward the mystery of God coming into the world. We're calling this worship series From Generation to Generation. And the root word of generation is gen, meaning origin or birth. Thus, we begin this morning with Bob sharing with us Jesus' origin story. And our worship series these 4 weeks and into Christmas is rooted in the collective work of theologians and artists who call themselves sanctified art. We've shared a couple of resources on our website and through our weekly email for families that might want to move together through this season of Advent. We have a downloadable calendar that you can find there. And then similarly, for all of us, there's an online Advent devotional that you can find on our website. Our kitchen tables this week spent time around Jesus' origin story as it's shared in Matthew's gospel by holding our lives in conversation with a painting that is inspired by this first chapter in Matthew. The painting itself is called Genealogy of Christ, and it's by Reverend Lauren Wright Pittman, who is part of the Sanctified Arts Collective there. Lauren was inspired by Matthew 1, the story that we heard Bob share with us, and she shares this about the artwork that she created. She says, while creating this image, I spent a lot of time with the women mentioned in Jesus' genealogy because I had a resounding echo of shame in my body that I had received from engaging with these narratives in my childhood. These stories held a heaviness of judgment. I'd been handed some harmful, one-dimensional labels that immediately surfaced when I read their names, such as harlot, prostitute, seductress, and adulterer, just to name a few. I had to do some work to unbind myself from the limitations my church had placed on these stories, and I tried to visit these women with a fresh mind and an open heart. What I realized was that these women, despite the loathsome, corrupt systems they were born into, found a way to claim their voice and found enough power to survive. And so we're going to spend some time this morning ourselves gazing upon the art that was created by Lauren in response to hearing this genealogy, this origin story of Jesus as it's shared in Matthew's gospel. And first, you'll see in her artwork that Christ is represented in the form of a rose. And then all of the women are spread around that rose. foundational leaves, she writes, building and upholding Christ. Lauren writes that all of the women are looking at us, the viewers, and holding objects to represent the fact that they took their life and survival into their own hands, and they were catalysts who propelled the lineage forward. So I want to invite us to move together around this circle, around this rose. In the bottom left, we see Tamar, and she's holding her father-in-law's insignia, reminding us how Tamar assumes his role as the leader, upending systems, and she would become the leader of the tribe of Judah and continue its lineage. Moving counterclockwise to the bottom, we find Rahab holding a red cord, the cord that she lowered to ensure that her family would find safety after supplying the Israelite spies with enough information to achieve victory in Jericho. And then continuing counterclockwise in the lower right, we find Ruth holding the wheat that she gleaned from the field. Ruth would navigate the patriarchy and the ethnocentrism of her day, marrying Boaz and finding a way when it seemed that there was no way. And then we have Bathsheba. She isn't named in Matthew 1. She's just referenced as the wife of Uriah. But here the artist reminds us of her name, Bathsheba holding a crown in the upper right, reminding us of how she survived abuse from King David, survived the murder of her husband, and ensured that her son Solomon would take the throne. And finally, Mary, looking adoringly at the rose, which represents her child. The artist, Reverend Lauren Wright Pittman, shares this about her image. These women only wanted to ensure safety for themselves and for their children. In the process, they ensured the continuation of the lineage of Christ. Without their brilliance, passion, ingenuity, resourcefulness, creativity, and sacrifice, the lineage would have ended. And so I wonder this morning who some of the women, some of the people might be in your own lineage. Jan has created around the sanctuary places where we'll be invited to pray later to lift up the names of those people who have shaped our own lineage and woven us into that tapestry of God's story. See, if we are indeed the hopes of those who've come before us, and we live in hope for those who will come after us, I wonder what image you might create to remember the brilliance and passion and ingenuity and resourcefulness and creativity and sacrifice of your forebears. While the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew's gospel appears on the surface to just be a long, long, long list of names, it's our sense that something deeper is actually held within this chapter. On the surface, it seems just a list of names passed from one generation to the next. But we wonder this morning if there is something deeper in this genealogy of Jesus. Something that might point us toward a genealogy of the intangible. A genealogy of the intangible. I heard this phrase this week from Dr. Christine Hong, who is one of the theologians that's working with Sanctified Art to help us center in this worship series. She's an assistant professor of educational ministry at Columbia Theological Seminary in Georgia. Her work tries to help the church move in anti-colonial and decolonial ways. And in a keynote talk last spring, Dr. Hong called us to consider what she termed then genealogies of the intangible. And I kept coming back to that phrase in working with Matthew's first chapter this week. Not a literal family tree, but lessons taught and passed through the generations. Dr. Hong shares about it in this way: we build and bless by remembering that we are not alone. Remember those who struggled and thrived before we took our first breath. Our great cloud of witnesses, they co-conspire with us. This great cloud continues to witness to us about liberation and freedom. I actually think that might be what was happening as the LGBT Center hosted a chosen family feast on Thursday. Genealogies of the intangible about liberation and freedom, taking that from the past and bringing it in to this very moment. Dr. Hong reminds us that these genealogies of the intangible can't be tracked on Ancestry.com. And they can't be taken by empire. And she invites us to hold these genealogies of the intangible by holding in tension two Korean concepts. And these have stayed with me, and I hope they might help you to imagine what it looks like to both create and pass genealogies of the intangible. And the first concept she invites us to hold is in Korean, sonmat. And this literally translates as the flavor as of one's hands, or literally like hand taste. Hand taste. And as I was reading and learning about this week, there was an image of people coming together in community to create and make kimchi. And there were folks that were coming from North America to try to learn about this. And they kept showing up to the class with all of their measuring spoons and all of their measuring cups. And they kept being told by the instructor, "You do not need those. You do not need those." The meal is passed as the flavors of one's hand. And each person has a taste, a flavor. And that taste, maybe you've been there in a meal that you remember. Maybe it even happened for some of us earlier this week. A meal transports you back to a particular time and place. Another time, another place. A single dish, not a recipe, but the taste of the dish that takes us to another place. Dr. Hong reflects on this in her own journey. As she has been distanced from her family by the Korean War, she knows that through this, through sonmat, she can be transported to the small little village where her great-grandparents lived. Not by literally going there, but through the flavors that she tastes on her table. And like those folks who were gathering at the center in Midtown earlier this week for a chosen family feast, the flavors as of one's hand are more than mere nostalgia. They also hold within them, alongside that hope and the beauty, the grit and the resilience and the loss. Dr. Hong calls this uli. It's a Korean word that literally translates as we or us, but she reclaims it to say it's the usness. The uli is the usness. It's a framework for understanding ourselves connected to those right around us. It's my sense that this usness, this uli, is what we were trying to work on over these last 3 weeks as we discerned what does it look like to resist white Christian nationalism in this day. And to do that, we have to hold the hope and the beauty and then also the loss and the trauma of generations before us as we discern those intangible genealogies that might take us forward. You heard this, for those with ears to hear, as Bob was sharing Tamar's name in a genealogy. You cannot hear her name without knowing both the trauma and the hurt, and also the beauty and the hope. It is all there together. And Dr. Hong challenges us to craft out of the usness, the uli, to craft genealogies of the intangible. She says this, "You have inherited what cannot be stolen by empire. Because all can taste and feel God's justice, mercy, and love. It can only be erased if you choose not to pass it on. We are meant to inherit and co-create a just world for all. You cannot inherit something if you do not know and do not believe that you are the heir." So strive to believe and know and trust that God will help us in our unbelief. God is familiar with our mistrust, yet God works through us and with us. I believe this is what was happening in that first reading that Pastor Linda shared from the book of Isaiah. We hear there of weapons of war becoming plows, broken up the soil. We hear of shears pruning away dead branches and a reminder of the just world we are meant by God to inherit and called by God to co-create, ending our warring ways and waiting together for a day of peace. God's day of peace. This is the longing we hold as we sing with Hannah, O come, Emmanuel, God with us. We're confronted by Matthew's genealogy of Jesus and invited to wonder what it might look like, what might need to be unearthed and dug up in your own genealogies, in your own stories. And perhaps we could take inspiration from the artist Lauren Wright Whitman, who unearthed the textures of the stories of Tamar and Rahab, of Bathsheba and Ruth and Mary through her piece, Genealogies of Christ, inspired by a list of names in Matthew 1. Those brave, queer, and beloved children of God who were gathering on Thursday at the center for a chosen family feast. My sense is that they had to prune away some parts of their own past. Some parts were pruned away for them as they craft and create those genealogies of the intangible by coming together to break bread, a chosen family feast. And I suspect that the meal itself may just have been an experience of what it looks like to craft genealogies of the intangible. Sewn matz, the flavors as of one's hand, alongside the hope and the loss, the usness, the uli. And perhaps this is the very kind of meal that we are called upon to taste as we too craft genealogies of the intangible, taking our respective places as heirs to the tapestry of God's chosen family, which has been woven throughout time and now calls us to plant seeds of hope against hope for generations yet to come. Amen.
In God's house, everybody is welcome. Those who seem like they have it all together, and those who feel like their world is falling apart, no matter who we are, right? Right. There's room for all of us in here. And so it is with that confidence that we turn to God in prayer, and I invite you to stand if you are able and willing to do this. And in this prayer, we hope we are speaking the truth of our lives through what the church calls confession. So let us pray with one voice. God of today and God of tomorrow, you say, bring your full self. There's room for you here. But we say, our lives are too messy. You say, bring your hopes and your dreams. There's room for you here. But we say, it's too risky to hope. You say, bring your grief and your prayers. There's room for you here. But we say, some things are easier to forget. God of today and God of tomorrow, we know in our hearts that there's room for us here. Forgive us for withholding our full selves from you,
Forgive us for giving only our Sunday best. Help us remember today and tomorrow, there's room for every story. Amen.
Community of faith, family, we who feel scattered are held together. We who have lost our way are forgiven and we are found. And we who are lonely are brought into the fold and told. I hope you hear it. There's room for you here. From generation to generation, this is the good news, the son mot of the gospel. And in Jesus Christ, we are held, forgiven, found, welcomed. So thanks be to God, and let's say amen.
Amen. I invite you to join with me in the call and response that is the church's practice for acknowledging the presence of God's love in each neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God, the painter, the artist, the creator, touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks into the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it that uli, that usness, saying, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, all of this is good." But it wasn't good for long. God's people could not be faithful or to hold the genealogy of those who have come before and to pass that hope along to those who are to come. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out beauty and justice and compassion and placed it in a form that people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to abide in God's love as Jesus abides in God's unfolding grace.
Did all that he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other. But we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it and we became afraid. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too much. The principalities and the powers of empire lured the people of God for a time to turn against the way made known in the life and ministry and love of Jesus. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table. And he promised them, and he promises all of us, that he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest-to-go companions, we don't always understand the message that Jesus brings to us, or what his coming and going and coming again means for us, but we can be grateful, and we can sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal. He took the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both, and he gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this meal with you now, so you can share it together, and whenever you gather, remember me. That Jesus shared with his disciples. It was sort of a recipe for all of them, right? But then throughout the ages, we have put our own flavors on it in the church, generation to generation. And we also invite you to do the same by addressing God in the way that is most dear and true in your heart. And you can change it up every week if you want to. Let us pray. Our Mother,
who art
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and spread across many places. Pour your Spirit upon the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts your body and your love, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your hope alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love. And when we say all, we mean everyone, absolutely everyone, full stop. For those of us who are gathered here in the sanctuary, very soon we will move outside. You can see the door opening, and Sarneet will guide us by dismissing you pew by pew. It's one of the ways and movements that we've adopted here during pandemic, and we're continuing to hold that. We encourage all of us who are gathered at home at this time to bring close to you your bread and your juice, possibly in different forms, whatever form that is that you have nearby, as you share alongside us in this sacred time of breaking bread. We want you to remember that there are prayer stations all around our sanctuary. And as Matt shared, there are some prompts, and they're going to change each week. To help us along this journey in Advent to think about the generations to generations that have come before and will come after. Always remember, always, even if you drop the bread, there's more. You can't make a mistake, okay? Really, you can't make a mistake. And we are in this dance, God's divine dance, together. So we watch over one another in love as we move outside, back around to our seats, to our prayer stations.
Friends, this is the bread of life and the body of Christ broken for you. and the cup of God's love poured out for all.
Body of Christ, Matt, broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for everyone.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We encourage those praying with candles to stay for just as long as you need in that spirit of prayer. Loving God, we give thanks to you for the depth of your mystery and love revealed to the world in the fullness of Jesus's life and ministry and love. So in this breaking of bread and in the sharing of this cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Amen. We are grateful, as Sarneet shared earlier, for those who are baking bread to help us to come together to the table in this way. And you can reach out to Sarneet if you would like to sign up or to help with ways that we reach in love through the baking of bread or coming early to make coffee to help us gather, at least those of us that are here in person, to gather outside. A couple of notes about other ways. We want to encourage you to wonder about what God's next steps might be for you, how you might be called to reach in love to your own neighbors. And we have many ways that we do that here at the table. Some of those are through the sharing of our own generosity, of giving so that our community can more fully align with how God's hope and healing is moving in the world. And you may give here in the sanctuary. For those of us in the sanctuary, there are places that you can place offering. You can do that the old-fashioned way. You can also do that online and setting up recurring gifts or one-time gifts. Many of us have made deep commitments looking toward how we'll share in life together over the year ahead. If you haven't had an opportunity to do that, we hope that you might take time today to wonder about what your hopes are for sharing in life together here at the table. As Sarneet named, this coming Saturday, we'll have just a short business meeting. It's kind of dotting I's and crossing T's in the United Methodist Church. We'll do that Saturday in the fireside room at 3:30. And then next Sunday, a note for anyone who lives, I think it is south of J Street, is that J Street and Fair Oaks, the Sac State Bridge, will all be closed because very brave people will be running 26.2 miles. And instead of your normal route here, you'll need to plan ahead, at least many of us will, to figure out how to get here. The off-ramp on 80 for those that come in person will be fine. There also is always the option of gathering online, like so many folks do. But you'll want to check your route because the bridge by Sac State and Fair Oaks and J Street will all be closed so that people, thankfully not me, will be running 26.2 miles next week. Our administrative board will be sharing our Christmas offering this year, and we'll just quickly name that. Half of our Christmas offering will go to support those experiencing food insecurity, food apartheid through the South Sacramento Interfaith Partnership's food closet. Half of our Christmas offering will go there. The other half of our offering will stay here as we begin a new ministry called Table Bread in the next couple of weeks. In the next couple of days, we'll get a final health inspection, and then we will start to smell amazing bread on Sunday mornings and to share that with others. Half of that gift will allow us to purchase a stand mixer so that Chloe's arms won't get quite as tired mixing all of that dough. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. Our musicians are going to send us out with a song called May You Find a Light.
Lost and weary traveler, searching for the way to go. Strange and heavy hearted, longing for someone to know. May you find a light. May you find a light. May you find a light to guide you home. Thank you. there are weary travelers searching everywhere you go. Strangers who are searching long deeply to be known. May you find a light. May you find a light.
This place, may you go knowing that from generation to generation, we have been claimed and loved. From generation to generation, God has been by our sides. From generation to generation, we are not alone. The God of yesterday and the God of tomorrow knows you by name, loves you, and calls you forth, saying, go. Be the person you are called to be, loving wildly and doing justice, and come back soon. May it be. Amen.
Find a light to guide.